Ready to resume.
1,200 samples. And how many samples?
135.
Oh, okay.
As soon as you start talking,
yeah, pretty much. Yeah, does that sound?
47.
East Beach, Sycamore, Mission, Upstate, and Rovero.
No, there's just the three of us. Three.
No lack of quorum. Well,
call the meeting, right?
Okay. Dr. Hunter was just here and she left. And Michael, do you know where Roger is?
Yes, I do.
Oh.
I know where he is.
Only one show this.
Yes, yeah, just there's three, right?
Okay. And I don't see the other participants, NRDC or Heal the Ocean. We are past 1:45, so we'll continue.
All right.
Did the county want to reply?
Right.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
I'd like the opportunity to respond to some of the comments that were made earlier.
Okay.
And we'll try and run through this as quickly as we can. First, I want to show you examples of the maps that we have developed to date. Again, we are open to fine-tuning these maps. These show color-coded the various jurisdictions of permit areas. I'm colorblind. The second color down, whether that's light blue or greenish blue, I can't tell, is the county permit area. This is ORCID. They are based on the county's GIS system. We have 2 to 3 foot resolution in the underlying air photo, and we can put any number of layers on them, including parcel maps. So if you want them at parcel map level, we'd be happy to do that. Let me show you what the two other areas of the county look like. This is Mission Hills and Vandenberg Village. You'll notice that we have a federal facility showing up rather prominently, including a Department of Corrections area north of the city of Lompoc. And then the county permit area is on the eastern edge of that air photo. Again, we can blow these up in detail. I'll show you an example of what we're capable of in just a moment. And then the South Coast area, the same thing where we show the cities and the creeks, the named creeks, and the other jurisdictions. Now let's look at ORCID with the census blocks overlying them. You can see that the census blocks, for better or for worse, are developed by people in Washington who may or may not understand all the various uses that census blocks are put to, including trying to delineate obvious urban areas. And so there are places where clearly, and this is the city of Santa Maria, I'll pick on them, it's easier to pick on somebody who's not here, clearly these areas are not urbanized, and so to make sense out of all this, you do need to know the urban limit line and the sphere of influence areas. But here's the county proposed permit area for ORCID. And while we're on the topic, let me emphasize that to the extent we see development outside this urban area, we would include those areas explicitly in any revisions. We don't have any problem with that. We understand what's going on here. And again, the BMPs that relate to construction, design, enforcement of discharges in all of the county's program, hazmat, restaurant, and the proposed stormwater ordinance will, in fact, apply equally within and without these areas. So from our perspective, we are happy to work on the boundaries. All right. We also understand the sensitivity as to the 303 listed water bodies. For the record, County Stormwater Management Program lists the 303 delisted water bodies throughout the county. San Miguelito Creek, which was named in the discussion earlier, is not a 303 delisted water body. So from a practical standpoint, there is significance. The question is, how much significance if a small area adjacent to a one of the incorporated areas is left in or left out? We'll work on that with your staff. We understand the sensitivity to it. We'll work on it. Again, many of the areas that were shown to you were in active river bottom. The value of adding those is open. We can talk about that, too. All right, I'd like to go over a few other issues, if I may. First, this is the integrated pest management report to the Board of Supervisors. It's an annual report. This one goes to the board on the 18th of July. This is run through the county's green team. I can leave this with you. We had not intended to make that part of the record, but the issue was raised about measuring reductions in loading. There are tables here that show the changes in use of various herbicides and pesticides. That's one of the features of, and we would report that as part of the annual report. We will include Lompoc and the other cities and the community services district. By the way, we have a representative of one of the community services districts in North County, which is subject to county control today. We'll include them as we develop the stakeholders group. Typically, what we do is we send out explicit invitations to those we may think are interested, and we clear the dates with them first, and then we send out a more public notice to other people. So we do reach out pretty aggressively for these things, but we cannot require people show up. There were a couple of comments about the creek walks and using the information, analyzing the information from the creek walks. We, in fact, do analyze that information. We have adjusted the creek walk schedule. There was also a question about cross-training county staff for water quality, that is the hazmat staff, the restaurant staff, and flood control. Mr. Brummett, who I introduced earlier, is in fact a restaurant inspector, and he leads the charge for making sure all the restaurant inspectors in EHS understand the water quality issues that they should look for at the same time. We cross-train our flood control people who are in the creeks every day.
Excuse me, just a quick question on that point, because I was interested in that. In the stormwater management program, there's an element of training for staff, and I assume that was your program. So you're saying that training will be offered for the other departments within the county who have some...
Not offered, given.
Mandated.
And mandated particularly for those who have a job that affects water quality. For example, we already train all incoming new employees. I gave a training about 3 weeks ago, and we spend a half an hour explaining the program and their responsibilities and what we expect of them. We also have trained and will continue to train planning and development staff as to how the attachment for requirements are embedded in the county's land use process and how to use that process. To the extent that that process gets changed next year because of the review, we would change the training. Part of the MCM6 is to roll out training for flood control, roads, and other staff that works specifically in the creeks. Other classes of employees we will develop specific training for depending on the kind of jobs they do. Some people who are in offices may only see this training once. Others may get it much more frequently, two or three times a year perhaps, depending on the kind of work they do. All right.
Thank you.
Follow up on that, Mr. Romy. Just to use that as an example, question by Dr. Hunter and your answer, is that spelled out in the program?
Yes, it is under MCM6, minimum control measure number 6.
Okay, so that would be in the text and in the table?
Yes.
And the example Rob gave about the post-construction BMPs and the land use program, that's in the post-construction.
Right.
And then construction.
I was thinking about the training.
Municipal.
Yes, that's in there.
Okay, I see that there's training on page 610.
And as I recall, the training would be offered, not mandatory, but there would be a for those that couldn't attend, you would follow up with a video or something material like that.
Right. And that's because we are training people who have broad responsibilities in other departments. All right? So we will be sure to catch them when they're new employees, and then we will track how many are trained. And if we need to tighten this up in any way because, say, planning staff are not getting trained and the system, the land use system, isn't working as it should, then we can adjust the training, we can adjust the actual land use regulations, the standard procedures, the administrative guidelines, whatever it is, we have the ability to modify. Okay?
Okay.
And part of that is this business about being able to report construction sites. We take that comment to heart. Ms. Garnand had a conversation with the Building and Safety Division. They have a computer tracking system, and one of the changes that will occur will be the ability to track not only active construction sites but the inspections. That's a requirement that we've committed to in as one of the measurable goals. So that system will have to be upgraded. We're not going to ask them whether they want to or whether they can. We're simply going to tell them they have to do it. Once there's a permit in hand, we turn to them and say, this is what's required. You guys need to do this. You do it the most effective and efficient way you can, and you need to do it by a certain date. So part of your giving us a permit is empowering us to drive certain changes within the county. There were a couple of issues that I think I want to set straight for the record. The first is the Water Resources Center. Water Resources Center is on in a county park that was the structure, the modification and change in land use was permitted by the city. We run literally thousands of school kids through there every year. We have a lease agreement with the Community Environmental Council that has us paying for a third of the operations. That's from our perspective, that's the important part of the lease agreement. That's $55,000 this fiscal year. That's neither 80% of our budget nor the $90,000 number that was thrown out earlier. Just for the record, those are the numbers there. In terms of the history of monitoring, we developed a matrix of monitoring costs a few years ago in consultation with a number of local interest groups. And we had a range of opportunities that ranged from about $32,000 upward, depending on the number of sites, the number of constituents, and the frequency of the monitoring. Those are the three controls. And you can put together a matrix based on laboratory costs and staff time. And we recommended to the Board of Supervisors, the staff recommended to the Board of Supervisors, a budget augmentation request. And the department, the Public Works Department, had 6 budget augmentation requests that year. That's a big deal to stand out in front of the Board of Supervisors and say, we want more money. The department head took it upon himself personally to stand up before the Board of Supervisors and pitch this budget augmentation request. Despite our information to the various interests that they needed to come and support that request, there were no letters and no one showed. Now, the department head is somewhat gun-shy about standing before the Board of Supervisors and making those kinds of requests again. So this year, the request came through the first district. We're still working on that request. But I want to be sure that it is not that you understand that if we are allocated the resources, we will monitor, and we will develop whatever monitoring we do in consultation with the community, and now, once we have a permit, with your staff. Okay, I just want you to be clear that I'm not against monitoring. I'm not sure where the number 600 beach closures came from. In 2005, the county took just short of 1,200 samples at the 20 beaches that it monitors regularly. There were 135 exceedances. Those are the numbers. Those are from the county records. So I'll leave it at that. So now I'd like to briefly go through a few other comments. I won't pull it out. Our education program does include high school students. We generally focus on the classes that matter, because I don't know how many of you have teenagers, but they only listen to certain things. And an adult telling them something is certainly not one of the things they're going to listen to. We go into the environmental science classes, the chemistry classes, the biology classes, and we teach all kinds of things like, this is sampling, this is why it's important, this is how it works. This is stormwater, this is why it's important, this is how it works. So we're invited into those classes. We have a speakers bureau. We also have, our curriculum extends through the eighth grade. So that, and I have the curriculum manual here, so I want to make sure that that's clear. And we have had conversations with the University of California, which had its own permit requirements. We intend, when they finally develop their permit, sometime in the future, and come to you, I hope they do, we will be talking to them about outreach to college students in Isla Vista. At this point, we know we have a challenge out there. There are a number of examples of target audience materials that are in the stormwater management program. I'm not sure why it was implied that we don't have materials for the auto industry, restaurants, and other businesses. Those are in the stormwater management program as examples for you. We update those as necessary, and when it looks to us like we'd get better materials out of them.
Can you direct us to the page?
They're in an appendix, I believe.
Well,
we provided them, because of their nature, we provided them both electronically and as standalone copies.
Okay.
Are those the fact?
No. The fact sheets are the fact sheets for the county employees, the managers, to go through and understand what's expected of them. Okay? So these are for the county employees.
So what's
on page 1-3, there's a list of the business outreach brochures, and again, we can make those available to you. But there's a list of the
well, that's here
the outreach materials.
This page, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
It has brochures, right. Posters, additional materials.
Right.
And school education materials.
Yes. And well, you can see from that list and from page 1-3 that we have, we have a broad outreach. Again, we have committed in year one to identify those businesses that we're not already reaching out to and going out to them. But we've tried to hit the businesses, like restaurants and automobile servicing businesses, that are likely to make the biggest difference initially. That's been our initial focus. Somebody mentioned storm drain sampling as a good public outreach. We did that for several years. It turns out that it's good, it has its advantages, but we thought that professional markers would work better. And so because these have to be affixed a certain way or they come off, we shifted over and took responsibility for putting these things on the storm drains, 1,400 or so on the south coast. And this is great. These look really cool. I was very excited and proud to put these out. I have one in my office. All right. Well, it turns out now, and you could have said, this is good, this is the one we like, go with this one. And a couple of years later, what we find out is that they fall apart, they turn black, and they're worthless. Okay, so the flexibility part that I mentioned says, all right, let's find something that works a little better, that's likely to stand up better, and let's try these. And again, we can go out and hold people's hands while these glue these things on, and we may choose to do that, but that may or may not be the best use of our time to get these things out. Okay, so again, we need the flexibility to respond within the 5-year period when we find out these things don't work after 2 or 3 years. Okay, by the way, these are cheaper.
Well, are you replacing them now with the...
We commit to replace them.
What are those things again?
Yeah, I'll pass it down.
They go on storm drains.
They're the markers on storm drains. We're going to replace
the size
them.
Of them.
We're not being told to replace them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, okay? they need to be replaced. There's no question about it. So we'll go do it. And we'll do it, on a schedule that we can get deployed.
I know we're going to take the details, but...
Is that the size of it, that little medallion?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the I don't know if you've ever seen the painted things are typically this big.
Well,
depending.
The ones in our neighborhood are this big.
This big,
so.
And some are like this, and some are beautiful.
You think these are effective?
I've seen ones that are similar in size up in the Moraga area that have been there for a number of years. And at the level of being aware there's a storm drain, you can read them and see them. You certainly can't see them from a block away. But, you know, I think okay. the point is a reminder.
Yeah.
As opposed to an enforcement.
They're very pretty. They're awfully small. That's all.
But these are, these are bigger, but even when these are in good shape, you don't necessarily read them from a distance. But I take your point. But we're experimenting. Again, this is the flexibility part. This is the adaptive management part of the program. There was a question about commitment to a certain number of annual events, and it was implied that we have committed to one. We actually are involved in a number of events locally. Some are directly related to stormwater, and some are related generally to stormwater. And so whether you say that Fall in the Creeks is stormwater or Steelhead, or whether you say the Steelhead Festival is Steelhead or stormwater, or whether Earth Day is environmental issues generally and stormwater, we go to them all. And we go to Earth Day in other parts of in City of Santa Maria because they run an Earth Day in. So we do a lot of events. On MCM 4, it was implied that the construction site runoff control program was inadequate, and it may need changing when we commit to look at it. But let me make a few points. First, under certain circumstances, it in fact applies to agricultural grading. Second, it says the applicant shall include a copy of the notice of intent and stormwater pollution prevention plan. Okay, when the construction site is regulated, because there's an acre or more. So we require that plan on site. The inspections are based on common sense. It says here, all construction and other work for which a permit is required shall be subject to either periodic or continuous inspections. So it's left up to the inspection entity what makes sense here. And I, you know, from a an allocation of public policy, public resources, for me, that seems to make sense. There was a question about the process for reviewing the post-construction runoff controls. That work was approved by the Board of Supervisors last month. Embedded in the description was a public process. Any of you that have known me for any length of time know that I've been accused of going to excess public process at times. The public will be involved in developing the evaluation, reviewing the evaluation, seeing if they agree, developing suggestive changes, and adopting the changes, particularly the ones to policy and ordinance, will be done publicly. We will review street sweeping in year one. I think that's fair. We can talk about how many miles, how often at that point. And I think that covers everything. The comment was made, reject the illegal plan. And without sounding defensive, I think I would reject the description. And again, I would recommend that you approve our stormwater management plan. Now, Mr. Walker would like to say a few things, clarification points about monitoring, if we could.
Okay. All right, thank you. Another speaker, but well, hopefully I'm one of the last. obviously, y'all had a focused discussion earlier about monitoring, and so I just want to maybe put that in context, because on the surface of it, of just saying, well, go out and monitor, and you'll assess how effective you are, it's a pretty straightforward idea, and on the surface, it seems reasonable. But let me just point out some of the technical and practical issues are associated with that, so just hear me out as I work through this. But from the general permit, they specifically give out, make some bullet items as to why you would do monitoring. And it's assessing compliance with the general permit to determine the effectiveness of your stormwater management plan, looking at the biological, chemical integrity of the receiving water, characterized stormwater discharges, and so forth. Now, these are may be included, so it's a discretionary call as to what is included in a monitoring program. So, it is, yes, you have a question?
No, I was going to comment and just get your agreement that these are good reasons to monitor.
Those are reasons for monitoring.
Yeah,
and
good, valid
they're good reasons. Now, let me explain, though.
Okay.
You need to ask the first question is, what are you trying to do, okay? Are you trying to assess the effectiveness of your program? Are you trying to assess the quality of the receiving water? Are you trying to evaluate the BMP effectiveness of a treatment control? So, fundamentally, you've got to ask that the first question. And these are objectives that you find in the bigger stormwater monitoring programs in L.A. and Ventura County. So, there's no argument that those are good ideas. But let's talk about the reality of what those ideas mean. So in the next slide, one other comment. Monitoring, just so we're on the same page, I consider it discharge characterization. That's the stuff coming out of the end of the pipe. You do out there during a storm, you monitor that. You see if there's a trend analysis as the concentrations decrease. And that's typically what most people think of when they think about chemical monitoring. Go out to the end of the pipe, collect a sample, and bingo, you can tell whether your program's effective. There's the receiving water monitoring. You go out in the ocean, you go out in the receiving water, you assess the quality of the receiving water, and has it improved or gone degraded over the years. And then finally, there's the program monitoring. How do you monitor your program to determine if you're effective? And so just so I'm on the same page and can speak using that terminology, it would help. So, again, most people think of discharge characterization as the way to do it. Well, just keep in mind that monitoring wastewater, in this case, versus stormwater, because everybody goes to the wastewater plant and they go, well, into the pipe, out of the treatment plant, we know what we have to meet. Therefore, here's the standard or here's the effluent limits. But in stormwater, typically stormwater is an intermittent high flow rate over a relatively short time. It's variable in its quantity and its quality. You got multiple discharge points, and to a largest extent, it's a function of land use. Now, Congress acknowledged this when they came up with the original amendments to the Clean Water Act. They said this is a different animal than the good old wastewater plant. That's why they really came up with the maximum extent practicals, because they didn't really understand how to establish a numeric effluent limit for a discharge. So they said, well, reduce it to the maximum extent practical. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, because you've got this blue ribbon panel that's trying to answer how they can develop a numeric number. So anyway, just to give you an example, now I'm from Davis, but we do work all up and down the state. The example I just want to show is something in Sacramento. And quite honestly, though, I could have brought the material, the data we have for Ventura or L.A. It doesn't really matter. The points are almost all identical. Here's the situation in Sacramento. The squares are the multitude of outfalls that go into the receiving waters there. And then you got the Sacramento River that runs, down the middle of the page. And basically, the city of Sacramento has two wastewater plants, and that's where they monitor, that's where they assess their effect or determine the compliance point for the wastewater plant. But just looking at, the overall picture for Sacramento, what do they do about all these outfalls? And your suggestion of taking one watershed at a time is reasonable. In fact, that's what LA is doing. They're taking some watersheds, looking at source control to figure out what's going on. At the same time, let me to assess whether or not you're really effective, that's a different question than going and doing source control work. So in the next slide, I wanted to show you the variability in runoff from an area that serves basically the same population. The top graph shows the quantity side, the hydrographs of the flow in this case, Strong Ranch Slough. The bottom graph is a sanitary sewer agency that is serving this basically the same number of people. So we have easily a 10-fold to a 20-fold difference in different types of quantity. And they're all on the same scale, so you can just see the variability that we have to deal with. Now, the next slide probably brings home more to the point of what we're trying to deal with here. The top graph is the monitoring data from a discharge point going into the receiving waters in Sacramento. And the scales are the same. The range is from 7.8 to 150, so we don't have some of the other outliers, not outliers, but the other data points. But you can see it's pretty scattered. On the other hand, down at the wastewater plant, coming into the plant, you've got a pretty confined level of where that concentration is. So what happens is the state board is saying, okay, how do we draw a line through that top graph to establish a numeric effluent limit? Because this is the runoff from an area that hasn't been retrofitted. It's just like, 95% of the state. So how do we draw a line in that graph to say, here's the standard, here's what we want to meet? That was the whole purpose of developing those numeric effluent limits. And if you don't mind me quoting from the report, and I suspect everybody will be quoting from this report because it has a little bit for everybody. And that being said, for catchments not treated by a structural or treatment control BMPs, setting a numeric effluent limit is basically not possible. So take that to, that's the same runoff you're going to get from these communities anywhere in the state. And for us to say we're going to monitor and assess how effective we are, that means we have to take enough data points to determine if there's a trend going up or down. And the board is saying we can't even figure out how to make a line to where the performance is. So that difficulty in establishing a trend analysis for the scatter of the data is very difficult. So it's not that simple just to say go out and monitor and that's the only way we're going to assess effectiveness. It's difficult. And the Blue Ribbon panel supports that position, right up front. So anyway, just to put that in context.
Is that data, the upper data, is that from a impaired water body?
No, the data is just, it's from Strong Ranch Slough, I believe. That's in Sacramento.
I understand that, but is it going into a 303 delisted body?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No. But I suspect the quality of the data down here is going to be somewhat similar. And to a certain extent, they're trying to deal with that data when they come up with a TMDL. What do you do with all this scatter? And as you can tell, for the most part, TMDLs are focused now on BMPs. They're not trying to focus on here's your numeric effluent limit because it's difficult to figure that out right now. So anyway.
Well, somehow, heavy metals are triggering 303 delistings. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah. The receiving water data, let's take the top graph. If the objective is 10, or my eyesight can't read that far, but I think it's the second line up. If the objective is 10 based on the hardness there, then you've got half your samples above the objective, therefore it would be listed for copper. So, yeah, I mean, they're clearly making that assessment as to whether or not, and my guess in many of these cases, they're going to go through a statistical summary and say, 90% of the data is above the objective or 2% of the data is above the objective. So they consider outliers in coming up with their 303 listing. Mm-hmm. And the state went through a pretty rigorous process on setting up the steps that the regional boards go through, and Roger probably can speak to this much better than I can, on how you use that data and how you use it to make a listing. But, so anyway, the point being, there's a lot of variability. It's a difficult animal to determine whether improvements being made one way or another just because of the high coefficient of variance. Now, we've been doing this for Ventura County for 10, 15 years. They've been monitoring their characterization, their discharge characterization. They've been monitoring their receiving water. And each year we go through this, and they've got a pretty sophisticated system down there. They've got, you know, composite samplers. They got field crews. They got flow measurements on all their stations. So we have a pretty comfortable feel on what that data is telling us. And each year we go through this trend analysis. Are we seeing an improvement? Well, I can show you the results. Out of the pollutants of concern, you know, maybe we have a half a dozen that are issues that we're trying to deal with. Well, half of them go up, half of them go down, and the variability is so much that even the trend is minimal. And now you may argue, well, that's because it's a poor program. The program was selected by EPA as being the outstanding municipal program about 4 years ago in the country. So, okay, maybe that just means that we don't know what we're doing. But it does implicate or indicate that it's a difficult animal to say we're going to track trends and show improvement just based on monitoring data. And I think that's a little bit of the point I'm making here. Let's see, what else did I want to cover? A little bit back to, and Rob touched on this earlier, it's not like the county's not doing monitoring. They obviously are doing monitoring. Maybe not the discharge characterization that's being suggested, but they are doing monitoring. They're out in the receiving water and helping to track the trend, the quality of the monitoring. And the next few slides kind of cover the not only the ocean monitoring, which, you know, they've got 20 beaches that are being monitored, and the next slide has the various locations along the coastline. And then the next slide talks about this index of biotic integrity, which EPA is suggesting more and more be one of the parameters for monitoring the health of a water body, not to use chemical monitoring, but to use biological, chemical, and physical ways of assessing the health of a water body. So the county has been implementing that, and I assume they're going to be continuing that implementation. So it's fair to say that they are monitoring. The hope here is that by continuing this, they're going to be able to track whether or not they're making improvements or not. It's going to be tough, and the data to date has shown that. So, but at the same time, there is a baseline being drawn here. So just a little bit in closing, then the question is, well, how do you assess the effectiveness of this program if you don't do water quality monitoring, if you don't do discharge characterization monitoring? Now, this has been a tough nut to crack just because of the data we've seen, just because everybody's kind of looked at this stuff and couldn't figure out how to pull it off. But so CASCLA and EPA have been working together to develop a more comprehensive and accountable system to assess how effective your program is. And that's the triangle that was alluded to earlier. In fact, most of the new municipal permits are requiring more accountability in assessing program effectiveness following what you'll see in the triangle than necessarily in the monitoring. The monitoring is being done more for source ID work. And just a final comment, NRDC's comment is absolutely right. You can use these levels at every stage in every program. It's just a question of it gets more difficult, and it's very hard to track any change in water quality, whether it's from the discharge point or in the receiving water. So therefore, most programs, almost all programs, are focusing on how do we assess the effectiveness of our overall program through the, you know, kind of the tools that we that have been spoken to already. So hope that helps. Maybe.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Mac. Mr. Chairman, I just have three more points I'd like to make. First, there was the issue of the practical plan was raised, And we went through the practical plan pretty carefully.
Mr. Almy, that's the NRDC.
This is the NRDC practical plan for pollution prevention, urban runoff solutions for the Monterey region. Our first impression was that that of the plans that were used as a source, the BMPs that were selected were cherry-picked, and it was from the plans that we reviewed. We didn't review all 18, but we reviewed several that we had access to. Not any of the plans, as we saw it, had implemented all of the BMPs to the level that NRD suggests that they ought to be implemented. In other words, they picked among the BMPs and the level of implementation. We went through, we counted roughly 55 suggestions in the plan. And our stormwater management program includes 51. Now, we may disagree on some of the implementation schedules and some of that stuff, but they're in there. All of the stuff, 51 of 55, as we count them, are in here. The four that are not are, we do not discharge into an ASBS. The second is, we think that a monthly BMP schedule would be counterproductive. It's misleading, and we think that it would be very inflexible. And again, we think we need to be nimble. We got a small team. We got a large area to cover. We disagree with their characterization that screens and filters are inexpensive. Our direct experience with filters and screens is otherwise. We will install treatment control systems as the opportunity arises. We've put in 8. We're not afraid of them, and we're not afraid to maintain them. By the way, we are looking at diverting low flows from CDS units into the sanitary sewer. So we are advancing the ball on that. I forget to mention that earlier. And we believe, we maintain that the county's monitoring supports the development of the stormwater management program. And finally, I'd like to suggest to you regarding the notion of bringing the plan back to your board on some schedule. That's a policy decision. I don't think you need to embed anything in particular in the county's plan. I point out that you've got 60-some stormwater management plans that you're going to be dealing with. I'm going to guess that your executive director has the ability to review the materials that are submitted to you every year from these 60-some programs and determine which of those ought to be brought back to your board for policy consideration. And you may want to direct him to do that as opposed to try and identify one of the early plans and set a precedent for coming back on some kind of regular basis. I'm not sure that you want 60 plans a year coming back to you every year. So with that, thank you for your time. I deeply appreciate the questions. I appreciate the care that you've spent dealing with our stormwater management program. And again, we recommend that that you approve it. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a question. I know that some of the environmental folks were not here when the county put up its maps. I think you guys were in the room. So I thought that perhaps, Mr. Almy, could you just quickly project those maps that you presented right after lunch? And that was some information that you felt was in part responsive to their concerns about.
Yes. Again, I won't. I have a terrible memory. I will not pretend to remember everything I said, but it's on the record.
Yeah.
If I said it, I'll live by it. The county permit areas are shown as the color second down in the block. The underlying air photo can be brought up to a scale. I believe the resolution is about 2 to 3 feet, and we can impose or overlay parcel boundary maps, parcel boundaries, to the extent that that is useful. The urbanized area is shown, and if we, as is the water body in the urbanized area, which in this case is Solomon Creek. Next slide, please. These maps can be blown up to any level of detail you want. The streams are shown. Again, the county permit areas are shown in the what I see as light blue. The federal permit areas are prominent here, Vandenberg Air Force Base and the prison area, and again the South Coast. And then these are, in fact, based on census blocks and the determination by the regional board. And if we look at the next slide, which is ORCID, you can see pretty clearly that the census blocks, which are drawn by people in Washington for other purposes, not having to do with stormwater management programs, clearly include large agricultural areas. And to the extent that there is development in any of the permit areas, we are happy to modify the boundaries in the annual process. But again, I want to make a point that if development occurs, whether it occurs inside the permit area or outside the permitted area, the same land use regulations apply, the same construction site regulations apply, the same discharge prohibitions, solid waste prohibitions, hazardous materials regulations, and restaurant regulations apply, whether we're inside the permit area or outside the permit area.
Do you have a map like this for Santa Ynez and for Builton?
We do, but I don't.
We didn't blow them up.
Okay. So we can't quite show you the level of detail. But yes, obviously we have.
Have these maps been available to the public?
To the extent that people ask them, we have not made them available. We discussed whether to use the process proposed by your staff, which would have this process occur after you had approved the plan, or whether we wanted to get into those discussions immediately ahead of the hearing. The suggestion was made that we allow approval of the plan and then agree to fine-tune this as part of the subsequent process. Hmm. And we've agreed to do that.
What's a deadline?
Okay, thank you very much.
Can I ask a couple of questions?
Sure.
How long have you had these maps?
3 weeks, 4 weeks, maybe longer. I mean, let's be honest here. As soon as we were asked to prepare more detailed maps...
I'm just asking how long you've had
the
maps.
We did it. We also have draft language for all the other changes, too.
I just asked you how long have you had
the maps. 3 to 4 weeks.
Thank you. And is there any sort of budget that you develop with this program? I mean, have you developed a budget?
We develop a budget every year.
Okay. And is that budget part of this application?
No, it is not.
Okay. So... have you decided where you're going to put the money, in which of the BMPs or programs?
Well, you have in front of you the stormwater management program, which details the BMPs that we intend to implement.
I understand that, but obviously you're going to have to prioritize and put some money, more money, some in some areas and less money in others. I'm just wondering if you've...
Well, when we developed the budget, we had the draft stormwater management program in front of us. And we went through line by line and estimated what it would cost to do all of the BMP.
And is that in the?
No, it's not.
Do you have that?
Not by BMP. We have it in a different form. And that's information that's provided to our administrative office and then to the Board of Supervisors. And the approval of budgets is a local agency policy decision.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how far we would want to go into a discussion about whether the regional board could or should be approving county budget elements.
I have no intention of approving the county budget, or even I'm not interested in that. But it certainly lets us know what the level of commitment is and where you intend on putting the resources. Because some of the BMPs I think are probably going to be more effective than others, and some are going to be easier to implement. And if you're putting all your money into the ones that are easy to implement and are less effective, then that's something I think this board would be interested in.
Right, but we do have a chicken and egg issue, which is to say we don't know how effective they are until we implement them. But we can provide that information. I'm not...
Okay, so you have absolutely no idea how much money you're going to be... what percentage of your budget you're going to be allotting to which of those six areas?
Well, I have that information. I don't have it with me now, but I can give you the estimate of staff time and the estimate of dollars for each of those six.
That'd be great, or you could just do it like a percentage or something.
Yeah, again, we have that information. I just didn't bring it with me.
Okay, well, I'd be interested. Go ahead.
I don't have it with me.
Oh, you don't have it with you?
Correct.
So you don't even remember sort of vaguely what...
No. Now, I can give you kind of a general idea. The amount of money that the general fund puts into construction site controls and planning of new development, planning review and inspections, is virtually zero because those are applicant-supported costs. So those two numbers are virtually zero, and so the other four minimum control measures then take up the rest of the budget. And I do remember that we've allocated $55,000 to the Water Resources Center's program for education and public outreach.
And is that it on your outreach?
That's what I remember, and I would be making it up if I tried to give you any other numbers.
And what's the total budget? Was that the 500?
About $530,000 this year.
So it's $55,000 for public outreach?
No. There is money for media outreach. There is staff time allocated for in-classroom and public events.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, it goes on and on and on. We go through a fairly detailed process to...
Yeah. Okay, well, that's information that would really be helpful. And if you can get it to us, that's fine. I think in the future, for staff, this is the kind of information that would be helpful to have, just so we can see, you know, where people's priorities are, and maybe we can... you know, I think that's a good way to get information on which way folks are thinking on these issues. Because I mean, obviously, someone could just, you know, buy 20 million brochures and stick them on a rack and say, you know, we're done. And I'm not suggesting that you're going to do that, but you know, these are the sorts of things that we're concerned about, and so any sort of budgetary information will be helpful to allay our fears. Thanks.
Yeah. Mr. Walker may have some...
Well, I was going to clarify a couple of things.
You come up to the microphone.
Okay. The State Water Resources Control Board did a study, I don't know, about 2 or 3 years ago, in which they... compiled financial data for about a half a dozen stormwater programs in the state and determined how the allocations were going between illicit discharges, new development, construction. And that report was done by Sac State and is available for review. The other thing I'd mention is, because we had to do this stuff for some other folks, is... Well, you get into these municipal budgets, and everybody has their way of assigning costs. And the biggest ones are capital improvement projects and street sweeping. Some communities assign all their street sweeping to stormwater. Some assign 10%. Some assign none. And so when you got a street sweeping budget of $500,000, it can really skew a budget. So... In fairness, when you look at these numbers down the road and you're going, okay, how's Community A doing with Community B, that's a reality we really ran into, is just the internal accounting by each city on how they allocate the funds.
Well, I'm sure you guys can explain that to us.
Oh, yeah.
We're not real dumb. So.
Okay.
I had another question for staff, unless you wanted to answer.
Yeah, one other thing on the budget. In the cost study, which was actually completed last year, I think that the state board did some normalization so that they were comparing apples to apples when they looked at these various cities and they looked at those specific issues. So for future purposes, I think that is, it would be pretty easy to do a comparison. In terms of how much budgetary consideration does the board need to do, it's one consideration. It's one potential metric for assessing MEP by comparing per capita or per household spending of one swamp compared to other swamps in similar cities. But in terms of is 80% for brochures or where are the priorities, it's helpful information, but I wanted to point out that the SWAMP does list BMPs and they're all mandatory and they all need to be funded. So if $535,000 isn't enough, that amount's going to have to increase in future years if county wants to stay in compliance with its permit.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. And I had another question for staff.
Go ahead.
On these educational materials and different programs that that not only Santa Barbara County is proposing, but other folks, does staff look at these materials and to see if they're actually, you know, helpful as far as water quality goes?
We look at when they provide us. They do provide us with the pamphlets and copies of things, and we look at them and they're accurate. Getting them continually updated is, you know, we received them with the original, I think, permit application, which is 3 years ago. We will be evaluating them in the annual reporting process, so definitely just make sure, first of all, that they're are handing out the brochures, but then we want to see what they're actually handing out to evaluate whether we feel.
Okay, so you do evaluate
right.
That sort of. Okay, great. That's all. Thanks.
Okay, any other board questions for staff? Or anyone else? Okay. Thank you. All right.
We are to the point of staff sum up, I think.
Okay. All right, because I think what I'm thinking about is more of a deliberation item. So go ahead. Why don't you sum it up for us?
I just have a brief summary. I think a lot of it has already been said. I just want to reiterate what we had pointed out in our original presentation. That this is an iterative process, that the annual reporting part of it is critical, and continually evaluating program success is what we're looking for. So the example of putting 20 million brochures in one area, that won't cut it. When we get into this review process, they're going to have to show why what they're doing is effective, prove it to us, or will require additional best management practices, or will require additional monitoring to show that the program is effective. The county has been very proactive so far, and I think you can see with some of the responses today, they are open to making changes with the maps. They'll go ahead and add those areas if that's what we want them to do. We can argue about individual BMPs and discuss which ones we think are better, whether X number of inspections or Y number of inspections will work, but until we actually implement the program and see what the results are, we're essentially guessing on a lot of this. And so the real strength of the program is getting it up and running and getting that iterative process started, evaluating the effectiveness, looking at, again, the amount of material they're taking out of the system, how many people they're reaching, the amount of pesticides they're taking out of the system and whatnot. And so, again, we urge you to allow them to get that process started by approving the plan. The public and the board staff will be very involved in the annual reporting process, and, in fact, we'll have more authority, regulatory authority, to require changes once they have permit coverage rather than prior to that. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Can I add one or two other points, please?
Sure.
I know that some of the criticism for this swamp, as well as others, has been, or stormwater management program, sorry, has been that things aren't done fast enough. But in going through and reviewing the tables and looking at the BMPs that are either have already been going on because of Project Clean Water, or are at least supposed to be going from year one all the way through year five, it seems to me that that constitutes most of them. There aren't that many. As I went through and flagged each one of them in the table that I saw, that where it said starting in year 2, 3, 4, 5, there weren't that many other than things that really made sense in terms of evaluating, summarizing activities after a period of time. So it seemed to me that this was definitely not a back-loaded program. If anything, it seemed to me it was front-loaded in terms of doing a lot of the work now, initially, year one, year two. When we looked at ag regulation, we allowed time for BMPs to take place. We didn't expect everything to happen overnight, far from it, and we don't expect changes terms of water quality to happen overnight by the same token. And this program is really built kind of the same in terms of the way the general permit was written and based on the regulations. There's supposed to be a ramping up period, but I think there's not that much ramping up in this program, and that's probably by virtue of the fact that the county's had this program in place for several years already. We needed to note that there was a change that I think everyone agreed to on page 326 regarding adding a mechanism for following through with the enforcement activities, and so I'd recommend that we be given the latitude to add that language as a condition in the resolution. Also, Mr. Chairman, you made a suggestion to think about perhaps coming back with on a more frequent basis than every 5 years. As was pointed out, we have over 60 phase twos, and I don't think it's a good idea for the board to build in something where the board has to approve these things on an annual basis or something like that. But I think what would make sense is to provide the annual reports, and in fact we could provide all of them online for the board to and then notify the board that they're in and that they're available for a review, and then also provide our staff response for individual board member review. If board members are they flag something they don't think it's adequate in terms of either the annual report or our comments or the way it's resolved, then you could let me know, and if we still can't get it resolved, that's something that could and should come back to the board. And I think that way the board will have an opportunity to go into as much detail as individual board members want to in terms of reviewing these plans, and having that trust, if you will, that the process is working, that the plans are adequate, that they are evolving in the right direction, and if not, bring it back to the board. I think that would be a much better way to go than dictating something ahead of time that says that we're going to have these plans come back on an annual or biannual basis or something like that. And if that doesn't work after year one, we can change that. And I think that's all I wanted to recommend at this point as far as changes.
Can I ask you, how would the public give input into that the way you suggested?
Well,
or the way it is set up now?
Yeah, what I envisioned is that we would post the plans, and in terms of the public, we could provide a notification to the interested parties list that the plans are available, which would be similar to what we do now.
You mean the annual reports?
I'm sorry, the annual reports.
And then the public could comment on it?
Sure, yeah. Just as I was suggesting, the board could provide input for us.
Okay. And then would you make those comments available online also?
Well, we could. I hadn't thought that through, but we could.
Well, I mean, if the public's going to comment on something, I think it's important that the board at least have access to those comments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think one thing to consider is the magnitude of that that prospect, you know, with 60 some plans eventually. You get into the point of information overload.
Mr. Chair, I know it's irregular, but we intend to have a public process during our annual review. We're not sure exactly what form it'll take, but I think it would be silly for us to submit an annual report to the regional board without some kind of a public workshop or opportunity for public input. So at least this county intends to have a public process.
Well, we're going into deliberation now, right?
Well, we're just finishing the staff recommendation.
Right. Anything more from staff?
No.
Okay. We're done with this part. Now we're going to deliberate. I had asked also NRDC and Channel Keeper and Healy Ocean. I'm just curious about what your thoughts are. If you could just come up here, and you could use the microphone up at the podium, would be fine. I'm curious what you think about getting the permit issued and allowing some of these lingering issues to be worked on by staff, and to have this come back to the board at some point in a year or so.
I think that sets a bad precedent. I think that we should get it right the first time and move forward on implementation from there.
Okay. You know, we don't... It could take us a long time to try to get it right, and I'm certain that we would never get it right to where everybody thinks it's right.
I think we're pretty close. I mean, if I could recommend... first of all, as I said in my comments, I think that making revisions by resolution and then not having that available for either the public or the board to review is a very bad idea. It's mm-hmm. not the right process.
Well, the resolution is our mechanism for actually issuing the permit. The permit's been issued. It's a statewide permit.
Right.
So they're simply asking for our concurrence that they're going to meet the standards set out in the general permit.
Right.
So don't get hung up on the word resolution. It's the board vote.
It's the requirements that are in the resolution and the way that they're worded, because there are substantive areas and substantive processes that change things. So we don't have an opportunity, our groups, I believe this is what you're saying, Kira, to properly review them. We're denied of that opportunity.
Okay.
And we have gone through many meetings with regional board staff and with county staff, and you know, I feel like the remaining issues that we have that we believe would make this stormwater management program comply with the general permit and receiving water limitations, we're not that far away. You know, Heal the Ocean had sent a letter saying, let's get one more revision of this that incorporates our final concerns and consider this in Santa Barbara in October at the regional board hearing then. That would be my
recommendation. I may, over lunch, we had a discussion and we have a proposal for the board. I was just stepping out. Marco Gonzalez had to catch a flight back to San Diego, but if this is an appropriate time, I could just outline what our proposal is in terms of, because we don't want to see a delay and we want to see these programs going and we want to see permit coverage. The problem is, as the board has picked up, there are vagaries in the plan that don't identify what's happening. It's not clear what's going to be implemented over the 5 years. And even though there is a ramping up period, the requirements have to be spelled out during that time. So what we're proposing is, today has been productive in terms of having the issues rise to the top and seeing what the main concerns are. We've covered most of them. You know, I think that all of our comments together with the board's questions have covered most of them. So our proposal is to direct staff, based on the comments that they've received today, to itemize or somehow summarize, you know, the issues that have been raised today and what the requirements would be or what is needed to get the program to MEP in terms of what the standard is. Then give the county 60 days to revise the plan, notice the plan to the public, and as Kira said, have a hearing in Santa Barbara, a public hearing for the plan.
Okay. Go ahead.
Heal the Ocean, we feel really strongly that if we can't get in this leg of the public process, that it's very demoralizing. I mean, why comment on a new plan? Just let everybody get approved, and then we'll just see how it works after a year. We've gone so far into this process that this proposal that Angeli and Kira are talking about would be satisfactory. If we get 60 days, that's not a huge length of time. Let us go over these issues and know where we stand, and then have it during the have it finalized, heard at the regional board hearing in Santa Barbara. It's not much to ask for, to just finish the public process that we've been truncated on.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
In terms of the public process, if the board's decision is to allow a short continuance to try to work these issues out in the hopes that everyone can agree on what the program should contain and resolve all the issues, that's one thing. But I can address the legal requirements for public participation if you'd like, and I think they've already been met.
Okay. All right, I'm not sure that's where we're going. I wanted to hear what their response was to some thoughts that I had. You know, I still feel strongly that if we get them under the permit and then have them come back in a short period of time, within 6 months, and that we've identified a few topics that we think are really critical, we would be in a position, depending on what the information is at that time and how things shake out, to be able to tell the permittee, you have to do this. At this point, we don't have that leverage. And time and resources are precious to all of us. And you can see that our staff is really burdened with a lot of these permits. And so there's trade-offs to be made with all of this.
I think that's why it's important to get it right the first time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Let me, you can stay up here, and I just want to hear from the rest of the board what their thoughts are on, you know, what we should be doing with this. Gary?
Yeah, I sort of come down between you and Roger on this. I like Roger's idea of putting the annual reports online and having folks comment and folks that are interested look at them and then bringing them back if we think there's an issue. However, on this one particularly bothers me in its vagueness, and this seems to be sort of an ongoing problem with these things, sort of an inability to a reluctance to lay things out more specifically so that the board can have an idea of what the programs are going to look like. My recommendation would be to hopefully we can do the rest of them, and hopefully the rest of them will be specific enough that we won't have to go down this path again. But I think this one's so vague. There's too many vague... did I say that enough times? So vague that I think maybe we should bring it back like in a year or something to the board in an open process and just look at that and see how they've done. And I mean, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. It's so vague, I don't know really what they're going to do. So it'll be interesting to see with all this vagueness. But hopefully by the end of a year, they're going to have it, you know, shaped up.
Here's my thought.
I don't know.
Gary.
I could go either way on it.
Yeah,
though.
Gary, and I didn't respond yet to what Roger had said. I'm not at all suggesting that all 60 plus of these come before the board for review.
No, but everyone else
whatsoever.
Thinks that's what's going to
happen. Yeah, that's not what I am thinking about. I'm thinking about the ones that have actually come to us through this process. Those that staff has issued and there's been no controversies over, I'm not as concerned about. But the coastal ones, like Monterey's, Santa Barbara's, and the others that fit that description, I think it's important for the public to be able to weigh in on this because, you know, there's a lot of detail in here that I'm sure in reviewing this material the first time through, I'm just not picking up. I don't have the time to analyze every word in all of these chapters. I know that the public, the NGOs have done that, and they've been tracking this for months and months and months, if not years. And so they do serve, I think, a very important function in our process in terms of really being able to fine-tune these permits. And so, I mean, I welcome that. Now, that doesn't mean I agree with everything they say. And I think that some things maybe are taken out of context with their positions. But I think that it serves a very helpful function to me as a decision maker. Now my thought is that this come back to us for some of these very specific issues that we have identified, like you know, the enforcement follow-up language to me is important. It really is, and I think that's probably an easy thing to get resolved. And I know Ms. Zachary was telling me that her own swamp has a fairly detailed response and layout for this that might be helpful to the county or other permittees. You know, that it is pretty specific. The thing about the maps and the jurisdiction, see, that should have been covered, I think, from the beginning, before getting to this point. And I think that that is, at least at this point, you know, Mr. Gonzalez raised, I think, some important questions with his mapping. And I'm not sure that I have received a satisfactory response yet from the county. Perhaps there is one that would justify us not getting involved in this, but right now that bar has been raised, and I'm very curious about what's happened with it, and I think that's important. I'd like to see those two issues come back to the board within a period of a few months.
October 20th is Santa Barbara.
Okay, well, it could be October. It could be in Santa Barbara then for some of these remaining issues. I'd like to get the permit issued simply to give us regulatory control.
I'm a little confused about what the board is finding and what it's proposing to do. If we're going to have a permit, we have to know what areas the permit covers, and that has to be done before the permit's approved. So the areas for permit coverage right now are what's in the swamp. There are some issues on covering the additional pieces, and the parts of the county that have to be covered are the urbanized areas. There were some parts of cities that were designated for permit coverage based on other considerations, and the areas around those aren't necessarily urbanized areas or areas that need to be designated for county coverage just because they're next to these other areas. If you want additional information and explanation about why that's not being included, that's one thing, but I think there's some lack of clarity on what the permit's even going to cover. I'm not sure. I agree that I think permit coverage needs to take effect so we can have some regulatory authority, but what the board needs to find to approve the swamp to start permit coverage is that it's designed to attain MEP by 5 years from today. And the general permit is clear that not everything needs to be spelled out, and that's something that's developed through annual reporting. And it's one of the examples in the permit and EPA guidance is you can develop an ordinance during the permit term and implement it later. But there's been some discussion of, well, let's just approve it and get it right later. And I think we may be throwing terms around a little bit too loosely, because the resolution does find that this swamp is designed to achieve MEP, and there's an annual reporting process, and the permit does allow the regional board to impose additional requirements later during the permit term, and that the discharger has to include those requirements in the swamp to kind of fine-tune it. But
does that include determining jurisdiction?
Well, if the permit area grows, if additional areas become urbanized, then, yeah, I think that can be included later.
Well, I'm talking about the maps that Mr. Gonzalez put up that I have a concern about. I mean, if they're showing up on the census tables as being urbanized.
They're not.
They're not urbanized.
Those areas weren't designated because they were showing up as on the census tables as being urbanized, is my understanding. They were designated because there are factors that can be considered for additional areas, rate of growth, population, discharge to sensitive water bodies.
Right. Yeah, but they weren't included by staff, and staff said
well,
that they
had. Well, but they were. They're included in the city areas. And there were some other non-urbanized areas, the way I understand it, around the cities.
No. The way I understood it was there were urbanized areas outside the city.
Well, I think staff needs to address that, but that's not my understanding.
Those are not urbanized areas. By the definition that is used to designate permit areas.
Okay, what about the colorization used to show density? The darkest green. There are some areas like that are not in the proposed permit area,
right,
of either the city or the county.
An urbanized area is defined as having a population of 50,000 people or more and having a density of 1,000 or more persons. So just because an area has a higher density, 1,000 or more persons, doesn't automatically mean it's an urbanized area. If it's not within a larger area that has a 50,000 or more population. So that's why those areas such as the city of Buellton, the city of Solvang, we designated for other reasons, their proximity to sensitive water bodies. And I can't remember the other reasons on top of that, but it wasn't purely based on population density.
Hmm. Okay.
The other thing is that what's being regulated is the MS4 system, and so I don't know how the MS4 within the city is connected, if at all, to the little piece around the county, if there's any interconnection, or if they're related at all, except that they're two contiguous pieces of property.
Mr. Chair, if I might. Attachment 1 reads, for counties, permit boundaries must be at least inclusive of urbanized areas. It doesn't say census blocks. The confusion here is you were shown census blocks. We started with the census blocks, and we looked for areas that were urbanized. I can tell you from the last time I rode my bike out San Miguelito Creek, which I do because it's a good ride, and there's nothing out there. There are 4 houses outside the city, and the rest has been given to you in testimony are hillsides. Those areas are not designated for urbanization. If urbanization occurs, we will adjust our boundaries in the future as part of this process. There is no urban discharge from those areas. There is a mining area out there, and there is probably cattle grazing, and there may be some other agriculture. The other areas that were discussed are in the active river channel, and I'm sorry we don't have detailed aerial photographs today because we weren't aware that we needed that level of detail. If we had the detailed air photos, we could settle this issue pretty quickly. The other areas were designated as communities. Community of Los Olivos, the community of San Ynez. Those boundaries are shown. Again, those boundaries are not the census block boundaries because the census block boundaries were devised for other purposes. They are around the area of dense development. And the active river channel is not one of those areas. And we've used the same criteria for the other areas as well. And again, I point out, land use, construction, discharge, solid waste, hazardous materials, all of these active ingredients apply regardless inside or outside the urban areas. Okay? San Miguelito Creek is not a listed water body. So we've got, there's just a bunch of information here that has been put up in front of you. I'm not sure why it was put up there. I understand there's a concern. We are very willing to address it. But I think there needs, you have a choice here about whether to impose permit coverage and get some jurisdiction over us, and we're inviting you to take that opportunity, and we are inviting you, we're suggesting that in future years, it is a matter of course that we can adjust the boundary. We welcome you to do that, and we don't understand what is lost with that relatively small area of uncertainty. We don't understand what is lost by approving
the permit. Well, either of those areas do fit, the legal description for being included, or they don't. So,
but what is lost by an error of a few acres or a quarter of a mile here, where it's clear there's no urbanization out there?
Well, I guess that's the question. If that is clear, and if they do fit the description.
Well, you've heard it from Lompoc, who knows the area as well as we do, and she said a few homes, and my count was 4. Mr. Holmdahl lives out there. I know him. He's a former board member. Or at least he used to. But that's experience, and if you want more information, then we can either provide it as an annual update or you have other opportunities.
It seems like, from the materials that these groups had put into the record that they had been asking the county for a response to these mapping issues, for some time. So it just kind of, and it begs the question to me, how come this wasn't resolved better before today?
In the discussion that we had previously, we put maps on the table, and the issue was show the water bodies that are in or immediately adjacent to your permit areas. And we put maps on the table, and the people around the table, who include the people in this room, said, that's what we want. Now, if those maps were shown to you, and if those maps need to be modified, we would be happy to do it. But again, I'm not sure what's to be gained by delaying the permit now, given how the BMPs work, what is on the ground out there, and your opportunities for modifying this permit in the future.
Okay. Mr. Lodge?
I'd just like to reiterate that in a meeting in May with the parties, exactly what Mr. Ami said. They brought the maps out, set them on the table, and they said that's what we want. That's what we're looking for. And then today they come in and...
Who's they? They brought the maps?
The county brought the maps in, and Heal the Ocean, the group that was spearheading that comment or brought that comment, said that's what we're looking for. That's what we wanted to see. And so at that point, staff, I thought the issue was resolved. This is the first time I've seen the areas around Buellton, the areas around Solomon. That has never been brought to our attention. So that, I mean, again, we sat down in a meeting in May, and it was very clear to us that that's what they were looking for. And so we thought the issue was resolved.
I think I can give you a better answer to your question in terms of the maps and when they need to be done. From what staff is saying, what the county's proposing covers all the area that have currently been designated as required for coverage. If the board wants to, in the future, designate additional areas, you could do that.
Can I say something on this, since we're being spoken about?
Go ahead.
Heal the Ocean. Yes, Heal the Ocean, it is correct that we said these are the maps we want. We just didn't get them. What's being said right now about the maps is why we are frustrated in making the request for another public layer, because we've been told here today these maps are not finished. We can finish them at some point. We are being told, well, this is not our jurisdiction. This is not really, but we haven't had any process by which, other than just this being said here today, that this is so. It isn't something that has been on the table. We were promised maps. We didn't get them, which is why Priya made these maps to figure out what we were talking about. We didn't get them.
And as just to add to what Hillary's saying, exactly, we didn't have an opportunity to receive them or see them until today. We've been asking for them for well over a year now. And we also were speaking with staff and understood that we would not have another opportunity to comment, and our only opportunity to comment would be here at this hearing. That's why we prepared the maps, show them as part of our presentation. But to set the perspective, I think there are a lot of unanswered questions, not only about the maps, but also the issues that have been brought up by the board as well as the comments. And so I think that this is an issue that needs to be looked at further. We'll review the maps and discuss those issues, as well as how we outlined in our proposal to come back in a couple of months and have a hearing in Santa Barbara.
And we could do that whether or not we approve
like
the permit.
We could still issue the permit, and if the county is inviting us to extend...
Our proposal does not compensate, or does not... what should I say? It does not take the perspective of adopting and issuing a permit today.
I understand.
Okay.
I know the Channel Keepers does not, and neither does Heal the Oceans.
Right. We spoke about it at lunch. It's a joint proposal that we have. And so we oppose the idea or the concept of approving the proposal or approving the proposed program in any form today.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I thought I heard Mr. Almy say earlier that they would include these areas that were controversial. They would include those areas for coverage under the swamp. Is that correct?
Well, we've already agreed to include an area that was neither an attachment 1 or attachment 2, and that is Mission Hills. I think it's a trivial exercise, personally and professionally, to include these other areas. There's no real purpose. If, however, that is included in the resolution, we will do so. I mean, I am astounded that this has risen to the level that it has. And
Nevertheless, and if the county agrees to cover them, then the issue is resolved.
Yeah, it's moot because it doesn't make.
Then we don't need to argue about it anymore.
Exactly. For the record, I'm unaware that anyone but Healy Ocean and Channel Keeper have made any request of the county for these maps. Just for the record.
I think what the county had agreed to was the language changes involving enforcement that maybe you are recalling their agreement to. You know, the language involving enforcement follow-up. That's what they had agreed to. Anyway, Dr. Hunter, want to weigh in on this?
Yes, I would like to.
Where are we in the hearing? Because the public hearing isn't closed if the public is still testifying. Yeah. So if you want to close the public hearing and go to deliberations, we can do that, or we can continue this. But
well, the public hearing, the public part is closed.
It can't be closed if the public is still talking. So you can close it now.
Okay. It's closed now. All right. Adios. Okay. Dr. Hunter.
Thank you, and I appreciate the effort of the last bit here trying to sort out some of these elements. I would like to see the program approved, and I would like to see the board receive some type of a focused analysis from the staff following the first annual report to let us know specifically how those jurisdictional issues got resolved. I think that what I saw in the program presents enough information to me to understand that they have addressed the six key elements of a program. I understand that we are in the earliest stages of implementing the stormwater management programs, especially in the coastal communities. And I think that delaying for another round of hearings is not going to be as productive as moving forward and getting to the meat of the issues in the program. Where are the gaps? Where will they fall short? I'm really interested in seeing how their funding is going to measure up and what are the challenges that are going to occur in terms of the intent of the program, and then where they get the resources to actually implement the program. I actually think that the groups that are involved and have been intently scrutinizing the elements of these programs and have discovered some key areas that are weak. And I think those groups can really help continue their involvement in evaluating and commenting and working with staff to let them know the shortcomings. And those are the areas that we can focus on. I think the program itself, the longer we delay, I think the longer we're going to be waiting to see our programs online and starting to understand what works and what doesn't work. This, in a sense, there's some practical questions here that I don't see how we can continue to just talk about them. I think we need to see how they actually work on the ground. There's a lot of work that has to go on between, not only between staff and the program implementer, but clearly the county is going to be leading an integrated discussion with the surrounding communities, some of whom are going to be developing their own individual programs and hopefully will be seeing and hearing and learning from this process what we're looking for. What do we want to see in these programs? So my recommendation, Mr. Chair, is to approve and go with staff recommendations and do some careful scrutiny at the first year annual report to understand how these particular elements specifically got resolved and addressed.
Would you want, are your thoughts that at the one-year period to have this come back to the board? Because it's going to go to staff is going to get an annual report after, I believe, the public has had a chance to comment on it.
Right.
So staff will be digesting that anyway.
Right.
Would you like it to come back to the board?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
In some fashion.
Yes, and in particular, I would like them to focus in on the jurisdictional issues, the budget issues, the enforcement questions that were raised, to see if changes or if the, you know, the way in which those are presented to us now are going to remain the same for good reason, or if they do need to be changed for legitimate reasons.
Okay. Mr. Jeffries.
Thank you. I've been sitting here waiting for this opportunity.
You can always barge in anytime you want.
I said plenty earlier, but I think Dr. Hunter covered most of the items that I was concerned about, and one of them is the monitoring, especially the monitoring. And I know the county and their consultant keeps talking about the receiving waters. Well, that's fine. That's the end result. But nobody, if you don't monitor, you can't see the results of or find out where it's coming from. And I'm more interested in resolving the issue of where the pollutants are coming from. And then, of course, once you identify those and work on those, the receiving waters are naturally going to change. Mr. Shellcross brought up the issue about the budget, and I think I talked about that earlier, about county, what their budget was in $530,000 compared to $1.2 million. And I'm not saying $530,000 isn't enough. I don't really know, but my gut feeling says it probably is not enough to do the things that you've outlined in your swamp here, that I don't know if you can complete all those items that you have designated with that kind of funding, if it stays at that. And knowing governmental agencies as well as this one here, when you get cut, you look places to cut. And I know I read in, when I was reading this, it talked about, I don't know if the proper terms were when funds were available, but and what that means to me is that if you have a shortfall, then the things that you have outlined, even if you have a permit, you're going to come in and say, well, gee, we didn't have the money to do it. What do you want us to do? And that's always the excuse that we hear. And being a city official, I understand that, because you just can't go out and raise fees overnight, and you can't pass a bond issue immediately, and lots of times you can't pass a bond issue, period. So where do you get the additional dollars? So I understand it's a catch-can type situation for them, but I would like to see some kind of an outlined budget of where your emphasis of your dollars are going to be placed. I think Mr. Shellcross touched on the same thoughts that I had, is are you going to put the $530,000 other than staff cost into 1 million brochures that you put in libraries, post offices, and schools, and et cetera, and that you've accomplished your goal? I don't think that's the goal that I'm looking for, and I'm not saying that's what you would do. But you know, a lot of agencies say, well, geez, I put out 100,000 brochures, I've reached 100,000 people. Well, that's not exactly true. So the maps, I'm glad to see that you stepped up to the plate and said, well, if you want us to do that, we'll do it, whether it's you think it's right or not. But I think that the area was a concern, and I don't want to speak for the environmental groups, but they said they were probably asking for maps, and I would sit there, and if you flopped a bunch of maps at me, and I said, oh, yeah, this is exactly what I've been looking for, but I take them home and I analyze them and say, oh, yeah, look at what about this spot here? They really didn't address that area. And I think my thoughts were, yeah, they probably said, sure, this is the maps that we were looking for, but they didn't really have a chance to visually analyze them to see what they really meant totally. And now they're saying that there's some gaps in there, they want to have those explained. But I think the map issue is pretty much taken care of. But I think the monitoring and the budgetary things I have some concerns with. Mr. Chair, I don't think 1 year is going to be a fair to look at, to analyze. I think more than two years would be a better because as we did with the ag waivers, we knew it was going to take some time to get this thing going, and you have a better chance to analyze. I know it's almost halfway through the process. And I would like to see, because probably most of us or some of us will not be here in 5 years to see this when it comes back as the boards rotate around and we change, that a lot of historical events that have happened here today won't be remembered by the folks that are there because they weren't there at this point in time.
And that's why perhaps we do this sooner than later.
Well, I would rather, you know, a year. Okay, I wouldn't be against a year, but I think 2 years would be a better chance to analyze what and really see what they're doing. But I wouldn't be opposed to having a year. But you know, we're pushing the staff to get more things accomplished. But if we keep having them to come back all the time with these projects, then they can't be progressive in with the other projects that they've got on their plate.
Okay. Well, what I'm thinking about in the year, they have to produce the annual report. All that's going to happen. Staff has to analyze it. So that's not a new requirement.
No, that's not a new requirement.
Yeah. My suggestion is that at least there be an opportunity for this to come to the board so the board could also take a look at that. We're not going to be issuing a permit. We're just going to be reviewing, and it would be a status report.
Oh, I understand that.
Yeah.
Just a status report.
A status report of what that first annual report looks like, and then we can decide if we feel we need to do it again the second year or wait a couple of years or not do anything and let staff take care of it for the remainder of the permit. But
well, and just to bring my points up again, I think that the monitoring is a real concern of mine for water quality.
How do we work that in? Because I think it's important. I totally agree with you on all of these phase two permits, but it's apparently it's not a mandatory requirement.
I know that.
And so what do you do about it?
Well, let's make it mandatory.
Well, okay. Maybe at year.
How big a hammer do we have?
Well, right now they don't have the funds budgeted to do that.
No, so I understand that. but you know, somewhere in time, to be realistic of these type of permits, you've got to have a monitoring program in there that analyzes the total results.
Right,
and that's the proof of the pudding. Is it better or is it worse?
Okay.
And if you don't have any mechanism to, unless somebody can tell me there's another way of doing it, and then I'll take a look at that. But I think that that's my interest. And of course, I would have liked to seen their budget. I'm not going to say your budget's good or bad or indifferent, but I'd just like to see where you had your emphasis. And I know that you've already submitted your budget because they were due already for the next fiscal year. So that's already there, and it's been approved. And so consequently for this year's, I would have liked just to see how, you know, where the emphasis of those dollars were going to be placed.
Mr. Hayashi?
Good afternoon. I do support issuing the permit today. I like the idea of getting the annual report in a year and then posting it on the internet. And then at that time, it's a public document, and we could take public comment from the internet. And if we have to make changes, we could make it there. And if we don't have to make changes, we won't. But at least it gives you the opportunity to come back in a year. So with everything else that's said, I think that I will support passing it today and issuing the permit.
Okay. Mr. Briggs?
I know you're in the middle of the board deliberations, but since you had a couple of slightly different, really three different ideas here as far as the review part down the road, one option that we haven't thrown on the table but would seem to make sense is we're going to have a batch of stormwater management programs here within, counting today, within the next 3 months, 4 months. And it might actually make sense to have a review of those as a batch, a status report on those four or five. And I'm thinking that one of those would be a group one, which would include seven different entities. That's the Monterey Regional one. And at that time, it would be a status report, but you could look at all those, and you'd have the added benefit of a comparison of the different stormwater management plans as opposed to just dissecting one. We could make sure that we include, for example, with the concerns about monitoring, the results of the snapshot monitoring, the beach monitoring, the bioassessment monitoring that Santa Barbara County is doing, as well as the other monitoring that Monterey Regional is proposing, for example. We could include the budget information, and hopefully in a way that that we can ferret out for you. As Ms. Okun said, the State Board has attempted to normalize some of the disparate ways of displaying that budget information. So that might be a good way to go in terms of the board having an opportunity to look at how these plans are doing, and also that would also provide a public forum to hear from the public, just like we would with any status report.
Well, we haven't issued those other permits yet, have we?
They're coming up, I say, within the next
4 or 5 months.
Three months.
So this then wouldn't come back for 15 months or 15, depending on what we do with Monterey and these others. We really don't know when we could, you know, anticipate agendizing this, you know, collective analysis or this collective status report.
Yeah, well, I'm saying within a little bit more than a year's period of time, mm-hmm. to allow for possibly multiple reviews.
Right.
Not necessarily saying we will wait until we have five or six of them,
right.
in case there's additional delay. But
right.
I just thought there might be some benefit to looking at
right.
at two, three, or four of them.
Okay. It is. We got lots of ideas.
You looking at me?
I look to all of you.
I haven't heard from Gary yet.
I have, but go ahead.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I have, yeah.
I guess you started.
Yeah, he started. Well, I tell you, there's some of these things I'd like to kind of get maybe looked at sooner, and then maybe come back in the EOS report, you know, the budget stuff. And I'd like to see the enforcement follow-up language, jurisdictional language. Just want to take a look at it, what the county's come up with in terms of how to address the issue we raised earlier and the boundary issue. You know, that could maybe just come back to us in Santa Barbara in October, simply as part of the EO report. Okay. And then a year from now, we... it's fine getting all of this posted on the internet. I'd like for the board to take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary, your sense is it should really, we kind of just let it get posted, see what the public comments are, I think, and then at that point decide whether we should.
Or do it on our own.
I'd like us to do it on our own.
We can do it either way.
Yeah, but I mean.
Public comment could be part of what goes into what we look at when we decide to bring an issue back. In other words, if we look at the annual report...
Oh, I want to see public comment.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I want the annual report to go out to have the public look at it.
Exactly. And then so,
and then come to
so
us.
So the board, if they're interested, look at both of those and then see if we want it to come back.
Well, and keep in mind, too, that one of the BMPs is that the county has to have a public forum every year, so there's going to be at least that forum for public comment. There could be another one, too. But
yeah, I understand. You're right, but I have seen a lot of criticism about how much lead time the public is going to have to even comment on the annual report before it gets kind of adopted. So that's built into all of them. I just would like to make sure that it comes back so... You know, when something's on my agenda, I really look at it. When it's posted and it's kind of voluntary, I don't, you know, I prioritize my time also.
Yep.
And, you know, this won't get the same attention as if I'm forcing myself to look at it. So that's why I prefer doing it that way with us setting it to come back. So,
well, you know, as far as trying to get it right, I don't know. We could sit here all day and all night and maybe probably not get it right. There's always going to be some issue that's going to pop up that's going to make a change. But I can understand the environmental groups, too, is this type of forum is a much better forum to be able to put their ideas and expressions out than it is to do it on online and you know, in writing. And so there's always something lost, and you can't ask a question per se to the person that's here doing the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, I'm a person that likes to have the public access, and that we can actually look them in the eyes to see what they're really trying to express to us. I think that's really a critical issue. You know, if Mr. Chair, if what you're saying is, then why don't we go along with the environmental groups and just wait on the permit till Santa Barbara? Then we'll have all that information and we can put it all together.
Because I don't think we need to go through everything all over again.
I wouldn't say go through all
yeah.
of it. Just the issues that the board members have brought up.
Well, how does our agenda look for October?
Very full.
Very full.
So
and we have other.
Else is new.
Yeah.
And it's very full with stormwater management programs.
Yeah. And so that's.
I agree that we need to get the permit started.
Yeah.
Their permit is so much further along than Monterey Peninsula, and I don't want to refer to Monterey Peninsula, but they had a lot more detail than theirs did, that's for sure. And consequently, I would be supportive of approving.
Oh, approving it. How about with the proviso that we get an EO report?
Absolutely.
In October, with some of these issues that we've raised. Take a look at that. Get the permit issued today.
Okay.
And then have it come back in a year. But after the county has issued its annual report and it gets submitted, then staff has to review it anyway. And Ryan, would staff normally write up a written memo when you analyze an annual report? What do you do? Do you critique it? Or do you just read it and...
We've had one annual report so far. So we review it. We write a letter to the community pointing out any deficiencies that we see and require that they make any type of change.
I think what would be helpful to the process is that staff has to generate something, but then I'd like that to happen after the public has had a chance to review the annual report, and then I think that'll help our review at that point. So, anyway, I'd like a motion.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Well, I can't make a motion, can I?
I did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Well, the motion is...
Okay.
To approve the stormwater...
The motion is to approve the swamp with the additional items that were in the resolution.
So adopt the resolution with the changes.
Adopt the resolution with the changes we've discussed, also dealing with that enforcement follow-up language that Mr. Almy agreed to. And then do we need a separate motion, though, to bring this back, or can I just...
No, you just need to adopt the resolution and then provide staff whatever direction you want to provide them.
After the vote,
right.
Okay.
And are we going to get those three items for this... Santa Barbara meeting?
Well, that we'll talk about after we vote
on
the permit, what we want staff to do. So, okay, that is the motion.
So, and then the motion is to adopt resolution R3-2006-00045 with the changes.
With the changes.
Okay. A second.
We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed?
No.
Okay. That's unanimous.
No means there isn't an opposition, not that there's no one opposing. I wanted to get you there.
All right, now, let's talk about what should come back to us in October as part of an informational item.
Budget
information.
Enforcement follow-up, yeah. And boundary issues.
Yeah, Mr. Almy?
And the...
We're kind of discussing now what we'd like to come back to us as an informational items in October.
My notes show budget, boundaries, enforcement language.
Enforcement follow-up language, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Was there anything else, Board, that we thought...
That's all I noted.
Okay. And then I will give staff direction at this point that we want this to be put on the agenda. October's taken care of in terms of this informational item, but then when the annual report comes in, we do want that to be put on the agenda for the board to. At that point, it'll just be a status report. That's
status
all.
Report in, I think Donette was referring to October 07.
Oh, yeah. If you were jumping ahead a year, Donette, you're correct.
Well,
and so what I'm seeing is that we'll have.
Sorry. So we'll get the annual report in, then you're seeing to post it for public review.
Right.
30 days. Comment, I guess. We respond to comments.
Well, I think it'll be, you know what? It's not going to be an action item.
Right.
So I think maybe 2 weeks would be sufficient. The reason being. If the county is already going to have posted it, because I think as part of their review, they have to give it to the public for comment before they finalize it. So the county will have had, the public will have had a crack at it. And so I'm thinking that we don't need as much time after it's been finalized for them to have another review of it.
And is that report sent out to interested parties also?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. For 2 weeks review, then we receive comments, perhaps, then we respond to comments.
Yeah, we'd like to get a staff report and staff to critique the comments, the public comments that have come in. We'd like to know what staff thinks about them.
So probably in our staff report, that would be our response to comments.
Yeah.
One.
Right. That'd be prior to a formal. That'd be prior to a formal letter. We'd follow up after the board. A review of that with a formal letter, I would think. So we'd have basically draft responses in our staff report.
Okay. And the letter would be directed to the county, not to the commenters? I just want to make sure I understand that.
Well, I think we can work out these details later.
Yeah.
I would like to ask.
Dr. Hunter?
Sorry.
As far as the maps go, I would like to see something at the scale that's comparable to the challenge that we saw so that we can see how those elements were clearly resolved.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Okay.
Because the aerial photos that we saw, don't allow us to understand why those maps are giving us the right information and showing, without a doubt, where the jurisdiction is.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, we are done with this agenda item.
Well.
Should we move on to the next one?
Sure.
Okay.
I think it's high time we did. I'll just move right on.
Agenda item number 7.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.